Gentlemen, 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 by gentlemen, we mean Joey D. We mean Mikey V. Fellas, bring them in. Bring them in early. Bring them in often. Look at Joey D with the flow here today. That is another podcast. That is a no-hat Joey D letting the flow. And it looks like Giuseppe's coming from the ceiling this afternoon.
Man, looks like a giant.
Bunk bed, Bob. Why did you go to the top? Why did you go to the top bunk?
Because the bottom is harder, I think. It's not as much light. It's darker. You need more light. I don't have a desk. I don't have anywhere to film from. You know, it's like,
yeah, I mean, this shouldn't stand, honestly. This is not appropriate. These accommodations, Joe, are just not up to par. Let's call it for exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's tight. It's tough. I would say the last several times where we've stayed somewhere, I've got the big room because I do snore and nobody wants to stay in a room with me. So I've had very nice accommodations the last several stays, but this one I definitely pulled the rough end of the short stick.
For those who don't know.
Or the
I mean
the short, are, the, or he drew the short straw for
the short, who drew the short at. Straw is what I mean. Yes.
Gentlemen, can I get a clap it up here, please? Can I get a clap?
It's good to be back. It's good to be back.
I feel
like Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, Mikey V.
You look like Gulliver's Travels right now. I mean, this is what it's like to be me. So now you're in my shoes for one day. This is what it's like pretty much. Ducking your head at every corner.
Like I can't even raise my head without hitting.
Yeah, horrible.
You know, I will tell you. We were so for those who know, me and Joe are at an Airbnb right now. It's a Bob's a sports trip. We're in Arizona at the moment. That's why Joey D's coming to you live there from the top bunk. Fat Perez, and not to call Fat Perez out, but I really think of you now, Mikey V, because one of my biggest regrets in life is amongst many is. Yeah. Do you know what I'm gonna say? You know what I'm gonna say, Mikey?
No, I don't.
Oh, one of my biggest regrets in life is when I first met Mikey V, and of course it's documented, and of course there's video of it.
Oh, boy.
Is when I went to meet him, the first thing out of my mouth to him was, man, are you tall.
Oh, he must have hated that.
Yeah, he had to. I didn't even think it was man, you're tall.
I think it was more like, gee, oh, fuck, man, you're huge. It was something along those lines. It was really, I was like, yeah, bro, yeah.
That's exactly what he says. He goes, yeah, man, like, yeah. And, like, you know, he was nice about it. But at the same time, now that I know Mike V, I know that he definitely had to be pissed off. And Perez even said to a guy when we finished up 18, and I don't think he definitely didn't mean anything bad by it, but even the guy that we finished up on the golf course today, giant. I mean, this guy was big. First thing out of his mouth is, man, are you tall?
Perez said that?
Bob just has not heard.
I'm surprised about Perez. He has better wherewithal usually.
He's got very good wherewithal. Yeah, now I really think
the ball
about
drop
that.
By him. I think he would tell you it's a ball drop though.
Yeah,
if he was called to the carpet on it, I think he would tell you
1,000%. Look, Fat Perez. He's Fat Perez is very aware. He's very, very aware.
Yeah.
And again, I think he would be the first to tell you that there was something wrong there. But, fellas, can we talk for a second here? We talk about how good Ryan Clark was last week.
Special guy, electric, well-spoken, concise, to the point, but flowed like he had been on the show for years. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Guy was sensational. Terrible top five, but he was sensational aside from that.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think if anybody...
I'm sorry. We were all thinking it. I'm just going to say it. It was not a good top five. He got buried.
Well, I think... I do like that we didn't... When he rattled off his top five favorite desserts, we didn't... We told him that we were frustrated with a few of the things. Like, we didn't... Just because he was the guest, and of course, we were going to give him the benefit of the doubt, we weren't just going to allow him to say things like, for him to say that ice cream doesn't stand
alone. If one of
alone.
Us, yeah, that's absurd. That's absurd. He'll never live that comment down so long as he lives. No.
Yeah.
If one of us gave that top five, we would have gotten eviscerated.
Body bagged.
Eviscerated. I mean, it would have been bad. But then again, to be fair, to be completely fair, I thought brownies was a nice curveball.
The king cake,
I can't comment on because I don't know what it is.
A few of those,
gooey butter cake.
Yeah, no. So the butter cake play, I can understand. I've had butter cake. Mastro's, well-known, big, high, upper echelon steakhouse chain. They have a butter cake that's like their signature dessert. Yeah. And it is, it's everything.
I've heard
it's
about
really
that.
Good. It's everything it's built to be and more. It's unbelievable. So I'm totally good with that. But the king cake threw me way off. He went with a homemade dessert from his dad. And, you know, that is a bold play. If that's his top five dessert, the problem is none of us can comment on it because we've never seen nor heard nor tasted it. And then, of course, the confounding decision to say that ice cream cannot stand alone is just, that's a statement that'll go down in the annals of history. It's one of the worst things ever.
Do we give him a little benefit of the doubt never doing a top five on the pod before that? He just made it very personal instead of looking for like more of like a generalized, like,
no, I have no problem with the personal plays. I really don't. I think my biggest thing that I took out of that was that this man really truly believes that you can't go and get it. I think ice cream, if you go out in the summertime, you literally go out to a nice dinner and nobody wants to hear the dessert menu, because if you're down the shore, for example, or you're now, Bob, you may be able to relate with that a little better. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to an ice cream parlor after dinner. You literally are skipping the dessert menu because ice cream is such a thing to do in like shore towns and beach towns.
We did it in Italy.
Right. There you go. So I cannot jump on board with the ice cream can't stand alone. I just can't. Never will
now,
be able to.
I got to ask you, Joey D, because in that clip, when he says the ice cream thing, that ice cream can't stand alone, me and Beardown originally said no, and you did hit him with some sort of an agreement. And
I agree with him in the sense that if you order dessert 9 times out of 10, it'll come with a scoop of ice cream. That's what I'll say. I didn't know he was making the claim that, you know, ice cream, you can't just order it by itself. I was saying that when you order a lot of these desserts, they come with ice cream. That's what I was agreeing with him on. As soon as he said, I actually had ice cream in my list. So why would I not? Why would I say no to it?
Because I would think that you would be, me knowing you,
ice cream.
I had
ice cream at like 5. I had gelato and sorbetto at 5.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I personally.
Bear doesn't look like he's convinced.
Not really.
Beardown.
Why would I give it on my list as one of the top?
I think you felt a little pressure from the Clark man.
That's an interesting dialogue, Joe.
And listen, that is outrageous.
An interesting dialogue.
Yeah. And you know, no shame in that. You know, intimidating figure Mr. Clark is, especially on and off the football field. And I think that maybe Joe was trying to be overly hospitable to our guest, which, to no fault of his own either. Can we really fault him for that?
Yeah, but you gotta have that dialogue.
Yeah.
Joey D, maybe you were just trying to really see the thing. Because if you watch the clip again, and Mikey, we'll have you send T-Bone the clip.
The thing is this, guys, ice cream is just a dessert side.
Yeah.
I'm a hot dessert guy, right? So you're saying
ice cream can't stand alone, Ryan.
Ice cream cannot stand alone.
Oh, I don't think that's fair.
That's preposterous.
So think about this. I got the hot brownie with the ice cream with it.
Oh, that's a great play. The a la mode is a great play. I mean, no one's disputing that.
There we go.
Do we got to give you the floor because it does look like you agree, Joey D. And Mikey, can you please send T-Bone the clip there? Joey D, you got the floor.
If we're going to make wild accusations, I'll make one of my own. Okay. Mikey V.
Oh, here we go.
Mikey V clearly knew the year that he got hurt, and he acted the year. Was it 2007 or was it 2008? But then he proceeded to follow up with.
So here's why I didn't. Here's
the man.
Here's why I didn't know the year. Here's why I didn't. Here's why I didn't know the year, because the NFL years run into 2 years, right? So the 06 season could be the 06-07 season. So that's why it was a little confusing. But nevertheless,
I just find it pretty funny how you didn't know what year was in your statement, but then you knew every single facet of the story.
Because I remember the injury very well. It was a very significant thing. Well, it shut him out of football for a year, and he was having a good year.
Was that, by the way, a lot of the stuff that comes up on the show, and I appreciate the followers for it, even when it's just body bagging me, and that's okay, comes from the followers and things that they point out. Joe, can you just preface for the followers what you're talking about there? Because he does, and Mikey, if you did do that, it's a very veteran play that you did.
It's not a bad thing. It's just...
But what did you see from your end? I'm trying to
remember exactly.
So I know what he's talking about. We were talking about the DeMar Hamlin injury.
That I remember.
And how Ryan Clark covered it, and how he was in like significantly like important in terms of like talking about his experience with his near fatal situation as a result of a football injury.
Yes.
So he was talking about it was a very serious situation.
Right.
Then Renfred's, do you guys know what happened? Or something along those lines. And then Mikey V, here's what I'm saying. I'm not, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not actually a bad thing, Mikey. It's A, it shows that you did a lot of research because you knew everything about it and I had no idea. And then that's true. Shows a veteran savviness to make it look like you didn't do the research when you ask.
No.
Mikey said, was it 2007 or 2008? So
here's why I'm going to tell you why.
You had a ruptured spleen. They took you to Denver International or Denver Hospital.
I never said the hospital name.
I'm just joking. But you didn't know all the statistics.
He knew what room. He knew what operator.
Yeah. I knew the attending RN was also.
All I'm saying is it could be.
Here's where the confusion lies. I just did a quick lookup. He was awarded the Ed Block Courage Award, which is an annual NFL award, in 2008. So in the back of my mind, perhaps that's why I said 07 or 08, because as we know also, the NFL season runs into the next calendar year, does it not?
Sure does.
The season begins in 2022, but it doesn't end until 2023, and there's regular season games being played in 2023, the next year. So that was a genuine mistake. What I don't think was genuine was the ice cream reaction. But that will we will leave that.
This is interesting.
I just can't imagine how could I give a top five selection for a standalone dessert, which is ice cream, and then proceed to go against my own list.
That's what makes it baffling.
Well, that's a very interesting dialogue.
I think I agreed with him when he was talking and referencing like the situation of like when you order desserts at a restaurant,
we got to break down the
get
film.
Ice cream with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to break down it. We're gonna have to have the followers decide on this. I see that side from Mikey Z. I also see Joe's side of Mikey V doing what again.
Well,
is a
first
very
of all,
that
how
play.
Did we pivot? How did we pivot off of topic A to go to topic B? Of which I don't even remember what we're talking about.
But he did do kind of like the year. Like, Ryan, I want to say it was
you agree with me, no?
Oh,
I was in the right range. By the way, hit the nail right on the head, though.
Of course you did. Because you knew the year. Because you knew the year.
Not so sure I knew the year.
Look, if you know Mikey V, you know that this man did his research.
He did his research, which we didn't do.
He's going to do. He's one of the most thorough.
Yes.
People I think I've ever met in my life, he's going to do his research.
That clock thing wasn't like research worthy stuff, though. That was like common. That was not, I don't want to say common.
Maybe well, you got to look that up, though. I mean, I wouldn't have known that. It's something that you got to look up.
I remember that only because of how serious an injury it was.
Yeah.
Like he was out of football for a year.
I'll tell you what, though. It was a roller coaster of an interview, and it was interesting for us because we really haven't had any interview settings. That's why I found it interesting. We haven't done a lot of like
we got to do more.
You know, yeah,
I think it went well.
Mixed it up, and I think my thing though that I think, and not to say that we should never have guests, because I do think like that to me was awesome. I think we got to be very selective because I almost feel that our followers would almost rather listen to our banter than hear like an interview on a guest, you know, on a every other week basis.
They don't
want to.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's got to be the right guest. I think, you know, we struck gold with Clark because of that. And he was just great. And he just totally got our vibe.
What I liked about it is we got two very different sides from him. Yes. So we got the very serious, like in-depth interview where we were able to see like his savviness from like just a professional aspect. And then somehow I think what actually was able to make us pivot was me talking about Mikey V's NFL stats if he were to play a game. And then we kind of got into like a more lighthearted section of the interview, which he really enjoyed. And that's when he said he'd be happy to come back on anytime. So we had two very contrasting sides to him, which I think is excellent. It shows our versatility and our ability to like diversify through an interview.
I agree, Joey D.
Why are you guys looking like that?
Well, but so would you say that you were the reason for that, for the interview going where
No, I'm saying that that was a topic that I think started the conversation of making it a transition from serious to like more of like a joke. I'm not saying I was the reason. I'm just saying I think when we had that, it gave us kind of an opportunity to like really do what we do best, which is back and forth banter.
We never got it out because then we went on with the touch and whatnot. I would have honestly been very curious to hear what he had to say, honestly. And we never got that out of him because we changed topics into Mikey being a tight end. I honestly wanted to know how many tackles Mikey V would make if he was on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't think we ever got the answer to that.
Well, you're never going to get your answer. You're never going to get your answer until one of these teams gives me a shot, Bob.
And maybe they will, Mikey V. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the Brilliantly Dumb Show to let you know that the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by our good friends over at BetterHelp.com. Life doesn't always go the way you want to, and it doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. That's why BetterHelp.com is here. BetterHelp.com matches you with a licensed therapist. They have matched over 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable, and you don't have to go to a doctor's office or go to some type of building. You could do it all from the comfort of your new home, of your home. You can't go wrong when you go with BetterHelp.com. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BDS. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BDS. BetterHelp.com. Change your life today for the better. So let's head on over to our buy or sell segment of the week. What did you see from the week that you like? What are you buying? What are you selling? Doesn't even have to be the week. It could be year-to-year basis, whatever it may be. This is the buy or sell segment. And this week, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start off with Joey Day.
Well, I wasn't ready for it, but okay. I'll buy watching golf live. I think it gets a bad rep for being either, you know, boring or not fun or not interesting. This last weekend, we had two of the top, this not last weekend, the weekend prior, the top two spots, one and two, were our guys that we had played with from Bob to Sports, Max Homan, Keegan Bradley. So I was naturally watching the leaderboard because it was there. But I got to say, it was so fun to watch. And the leaderboard sometimes on these Sundays, oh, that was a Saturday, but they're so compact and so close, and it's so fun to watch. And I feel like as I get older, I enjoy watching golf more and more than I ever have before. And I think it's something that people, like the average sport viewer, doesn't really watch unless it's like the Masters. And I think that it needs to get maybe a few more eyes on it. I think it's very entertaining, and you can watch it from literally the start to the end of the day.
We'll say, especially even as far as to bet a sport and to watch it, you will not get better odds than you do in golf. I would love Mikey V to really dial into golf and be able to pick, you know, give us some handicappers and some of these. I mean, with some of these golf picks that you get, I mean, Perez is very good at it. You don't get better odds than you do there. You really
it's hard to pick though golf.
Yeah, because there's so many players in the field, right, and to win it outright. But you could get some really good golfers, some top end golfers, put $100 on them, and very well win $1,500, $2,000. You don't want to bet with them. But again, yeah, it's just the size of the field. I mean, I don't mind that buy at all, Joey D. I got absolutely no issue with that buy. I'll take it away if you're okay with that, Mikey V. I want to sell. Another hot take, by the way, something that I got slammed for, absolutely slammed, and you guys jumped on me too. I get it. I got ripped up for selling the steakhouse appetizers. I really did.
No, did you?
Yeah, I took a beating for that. I took a beating for not the Bobby Blockbusters last week. Very well deserved, by the way. Big bounce back coming this week, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, but
wow.
Okay. I will go ahead. I want to sell, and I know it's got to happen because I know it's such a big thing. Okay, so I don't mind the smaller gathering. The huge Super Bowl watch parties I want to sell. In the standpoint of, you don't get to really watch the game. You don't get to hear the analysts. You don't get to. It really does. I mean, like, I know you got to have it. It's like a holiday, which I do love. But at the same time, like, if you really want to watch the game, it's so hard to watch the game at some of these parties. We were going to do this huge Super Bowl party this weekend, and thankfully we're leaving Saturday before all the ruckus. I mean, you just can't really even watch.
It's a casual. It's a casual fan. It's for people who don't watch football. The Super Bowl, I've been saying it for years. It's the Super Bowl Sunday is it's an advertisement bonanza. It's all about money. Like, and the NFL is all about money to begin with, but Super Bowl Sunday is really, really the halftime show. And I'm not saying that some of them aren't good, but it's really like not for diehard football people. It really is not, unless your team is playing in it, then that's a whole different story. But I never have that experience. So for me, every year, the Super Bowl is like, I'm not looking forward to it whatsoever. To me, it's just it means the last game. It's like the wake.
It's like the death of football.
Yeah, it really is.
It's tough, man. Even in the playoffs. Yeah.
It's crazy how fast the football season went too. Like, I feel like we wait so long for it to come. It finally arrives, and then in the blink of an eye, it seems like it's gone.
This Sunday was the first Sunday since August that we didn't have football in some capacity. On Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's just horrible.
We're entering after the, you know, you enter then the worst period of sports after.
Yeah, it's bad.
After all the sports, and then you have just baseball for the entirety of the summer with nothing else. It's just like a barren wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Yankees really haven't excited me that much this offseason, so. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's just that
college basketball I'll be into once
March Madness? Well, March Madness.
Yeah, I'll get into it a little bit. I watched the game on Friday. I was very excited, but that's because I had action on it.
Of course.
If you have action on it, yeah.
You know what? It just you kind of forget, like, now moving forward, I don't know what to do on Sundays.
So
you know what I mean?
Everyone's so spoiled.
Golf, Bob, golf.
Yeah, golf. Yeah. I mean, that's good for you guys. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you're so spoiled for so long. Like, you get that rush in September, and it's like you come out of the gates and everyone's going crazy. And then by like October, November, you forget how spoiled you are, especially now with Thursday night, Monday night, Saturday afternoon, Friday night. You usually get some kind of wacky out of conference college game. And college football's so good still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the NFL product, but. Honestly, the NFL price a little.
But let me ask you something, Mikey, in all honesty, okay? Yeah. In regards to my sell Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
If the Bears were in the Super Bowl.
They're going to the game.
Okay, if you couldn't go to the game, are you doing a watch party?
No.
Are you alone in the bear cave?
No, I'm probably with my dad and with my brothers, probably.
That's special. That's
my ticket's watching the game by himself.
Yeah, you can't because one asshole, and listen, no disrespect to anybody, but you get even your friends who are going to be assholes and they got bets and you don't want to root against their bets. They got prop bets on other players from the other team. Maybe they bet the other team. And you know what? You're in no place to say, oh, how dare you do that and come to my house. You're not going to do that unless you're a total sociopath. So if the Bears were in a high level situation like that, I would even go so far as to say, it would be tough for me to do my usual NFC, AFC. That's the big party we have. My one friend, Aunt Marillo, has a gigantic AFC, NFC Championship Sunday party every year. Big. Like, and now with the kids, everyone's got kids. This year, it was fucking pandemonium. It was like a zoo. There was just kids everywhere and all of us, and we're watching the games. I would say that even if the Bears played in that, I may have to consider not going to that. I may have, because I don't know if I could really deal with that.
Where did you watch the Bears Super Bowl game against the Colts?
So that was 2006.
Do you know the year?
It might be seven.
It was the 06-07 year, Bob.
And I was just double checking. I watched that game in my father's apartment with just me and my father. And my brother, actually my brother Jason was there also, but it was me, my brother Jason, and my dad. And I'll never forget, because that same year Ohio State went to the national championship game, 06-07 slash. Ohio State goes to the national championship game against Florida. Tim Tebow, Chris Leak, Urban Meyer coached Florida Gators, legendary team. They return the opening kickoff. Ted Ginn returns it for a touchdown for Ohio State. I went nuts. Ohio State gets blown out and loses the game. Wouldn't you know that the Bears, a month later, Devin Hester returns the opening kickoff for the Bears. And my father starts going nuts, and he looks at me, and I just had a look on my face like, I want to go nuts, but I really, the sickness in me is settling that I think this is the worst possible opening to the Super Bowl ever because of what had happened to Ohio State. So I was carrying that with me. A very ominous feeling I had when Hester returned that kick when it should have just
been. You didn't go crazy?
No. No.
Wow.
I kind of did, and then it hit me so quickly. Like, I've been here, done that already a month ago, and got my heart ripped out. And again, I got my heart ripped out by Peyton Manning and the Colts because the Bears could do nothing.
That's tough, man.
Defensively, they did enough in that game. Offensively, they could not do anything. Rex Grossman was just horrible that game. But the defense will tell you that it was the defense's fault. Urlacher, Brown, those guys, they'll all tell you it was the defense's fault.
I think if it's not your team, it's one thing. Everybody's got action going on. There's different party bets going on and whatnot. If it's your team, do you remember my meltdown during the Yankees playoff, Joe, at goal, the bar?
Yeah, he threw a fit. He screamed.
You were fine. You were fine at the Astros game, but I think at that point you kind of just – I think you were like so – we literally rolled into that game. What were we down 2-0 already in the series, Bob?
Yeah.
We were down 2-0. I was with Bob in his apartment.
Right.
And there was like a single. There was bases loaded or something. There was a single that drove in like multiple runs.
I remember texting. With
and he dropped to his knees and he screamed like he had just lost his firstborn.
I dropped to my knees when Ohio State's kicker missed that kick on New Year's Eve. I literally was standing. And I literally collapsed to my knees when he missed that kick. Literally collapsed to my knees. But the Yankees, we all went into that game. The Audi Club all rolled into Billy's just looking to have a good time because I think in the back of our minds, we were like, the Yankees, this team as it stands, we're fans, we're going to root, we're going to hope for the best. But we know as baseball fans, there is no chance the Yankees are going to come back and win this fucking series. Not the way they're built. Not right now. Not against that team either. They can't get over that mental hurdle yet. Whatever it is.
We had one where me and Joe, we were at a sports bar. It was the Yankees Red Sox playoffs. And, you know, one of these guys, a couple of people from our work came in. It's when we were still working at the Four Seasons. And this guy came in and he wanted to turn to the Dodger game. And Yankees started losing. Yeah. I was a mess. And you know what? It's one of those nights that I just brought nothing to the table. I was a mess. And I kind of said to myself, if it's my team again, you gotta be. With that being said, Mikey V, let's head on over to you. Buy or sell?
I'm selling this week, and I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna sell. I did a little deep dive this week because I was thinking about it last night. Last night was the Grammys, right?
Yeah.
These award shows, they gotta go, man. The Grammys, the Emmys, the Academy Awards. First of all, nobody would have cared about the Academy Awards last year if it wasn't for the Will Smith thing with Chris Rock. The ratings alone on these things, okay? And I looked this up because I was very curious. I was like, I wonder what these do number-wise. 2022 stats. I can't give you what the Emmys did last night because it's too fresh. I don't have it. 2002 Emmys drew 5.92 million viewers. In comparison, first of all, the NFL does better numbers than that, regular season games every single week. And I'm talking about the shittiest NFL game. Bears Commanders this year on Thursday Night Football drew almost double what the Emmys drew last year. But I'm going to give you a list. Now, also, you got the Grammys. That drew about 9 million. And the Oscars, the big one, drew 16 million. But I'm going to give you in comparison what some events did better. St. Peter's Purdue, college basketball, last year in the tournament. The Masters, final round. Beijing Winter Olympics, night 11. World Cup group play, United States against Wales. Beijing Winter Olympics, night 7.
What year was that,
Mike? Men's Elite 8, Duke, Arkansas. World Cup group play, Brazil, Serbia. Yeah, I mean, so that's, I mean, these are some of the things. Now, just to give you the sheer insane numbers, like the biggest night in the world for entertainment and these shows is the Oscars, 16.6 million. Do you know what the NFC title game, or excuse me, the AFC title game did last week?
It's got to be.
And the Bengals?
50 million.
53 million.
Very good guess, Joey D. Did you know that?
53 million.
No, I didn't.
Ohio State college football, Ohio State, Utah, in a meaningless Rose Bowl game last year did the same exact numbers the Oscars did last year. This is college football, not pro football.
Joe, you got to get off that top bunk, by the way. It's the most – it's crazy. It's just crazy that you thought to go to that top bunk.
Anyway, my point is – and Joe's got his huggable pillow up there, and he looks comfy now. My point is that these award shows aren't outdrawing. They're just I don't know who's watching them. But the next day, you will hear from all these different places on the internet how important this award show was and what this person wore and what that person. It's I just don't think it has any more real substance to it whatsoever. I just don't think I can't see a world where I would ever sit in front of the TV and watch this. I know my wife was flipping through and she had it on briefly when I was on my way upstairs to go to bed last night. Her literal words were, I don't even know why I'm watching this. This
is a waste of my time. I feel like a lot of people. The Will Smith thing I thought might bring back people.
Maybe the Oscars. Shows.
Yeah, but it
I'd be interested. I feel like they used to do better. Like, they used to kill. When there was less streaming options, when there was no Netflix, when there was no Hulu, when there's none of this other streaming options and it was basic cable. I feel like shows like 10, 15, 20 years ago, like the Oscars and stuff with Grammys, they used to do much better.
Yeah, so now you went down that road. So what did I say to myself? I said, Mike, giving sports as the comparison is not enough. You got to dig a little bit deeper than that. And I dug a little bit deeper. And what you'll find is that there were actually episodes of Chicago Fire, NCIS, these shows like Chicago Fire is one of them. This other show called FBI something. These these scripted, you know, crime saga shows, they outdrew. Regular TV shows are outdrawing these massive award shows that God knows what they spend on these. It just to me, it's just I they're horrible. I'm selling them. Get rid of them. There's no need. Just announce them over the. They should do like some type of social media thing. I think that would go over better. Something live on YouTube or a podcast or something like that, where they do the award shows live like that on a social media outlet. I think television. No one wants to see it. Nobody's tuning in.
What do you got, Joey Day?
I just had this vision of Mikey V somehow being in a movie. He would absolutely be at that award show.
100%. 100% I would. 100%.
He'd roll up with the tux, the Rolex, but everything.
But that does not mean. But that does not mean that I think that the show deserves to be on TV.
Okay. The only thing too that I will say as well is, I also feel another one of these shows, you know, like cable TV that just can't hit anymore, is this like American Idol and all of that stuff used to hit so hard and it would make a difference. You would have stars come from American Idol or The Voice. They still are running out these shows, and the people that win, I know they win money, but they don't become stars after that. Maybe I'm wrong. But
how could you have a show like that that hits anymore when any asshole on the planet could just go on this thing? And just there's literally pages, profiles built to display people's talent. People just post it. It goes viral. You don't need to go on a show. There's no need to go on a show anymore.
It's just losing.
I don't know how those shows even exist anymore. I really don't.
It's losing it, man. It's absolutely losing. And by the way, one of my favorite things when we go to the buy or sell, I always like when Mikey sells. I think when Mikey sells over to the buy, it's what when Mikey says he's going to sell something, it's wildly entertaining because you just don't know what you're going to get. When it comes, it bangs. So Mikey, you just sell away. Bobby Blockbuster.
Oh boy,
let's hear it. Did we get a full viewing this week?
Yeah, did you watch the movie at least?
I said to Joe, I watched it the night before that we went for the trip. And I will say, the movie, when you guys said Green Book, it sounded familiar. Like, I feel like it definitely sounded familiar. And just seeing how confident you guys were in it, I was very excited to watch it. I almost watched it the night after we did the show.
Okay.
I thought Green Book was terrific. It
wow!
It's exactly what I was looking for. Like, to a T, it's a feel-good story.
Bro, get off the phone. Let's get a clap on.
Yeah.
I got my suggestions for Bobby Blockbuster.
Well, let's clap it up, though, Joey.
Yeah,
let's
yeah. We finally won.
Hit one, Mikey.
We slayed the dragon.
And also, too, it was like you could just tell from the way you guys were talking about it as well that you both were on the same page with it. Unbelievable. And again, then when I went and I saw the movie, I remembered a lot of those scenes. Like, I had definitely seen it prior, and it sounded familiar. Absolutely terrific. And I'll tell you right now, I'd go 8-7. I loved it.
Eight out of 10 bagels on
eight out of 10 bagels without
that's
a doubt.
That's pretty damn good. That's Mikey B.
Solid, bro.
It was solid. It was, yeah, solid. Man. I mean, it was unbelievable. Good.
Okay. Now
so
we
here's
roll.
The deal. Here's now the deal, fellas.
I think
now
we stick with that kind of genre.
Yeah. That's an inspirational genre.
Feel good.
Comedic, inspirational. Now that movie, it does slightly go against Bob's, prior blueprint because it's based in olden times. It's based in the 50s, 60s, right? Yeah. Yes, and Bob doesn't like older.
But it's no, but it's
movies.
Been filmed. It was filmed made in the last 10
that's exactly
five
right.
years.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Okay.
So, but okay. I'm not even looking
right out of the gates here, Mikey B.
Well, I want you guys to agree on.
We got to go on a heater now, Joe.
I want
to go on a cinematic heater.
That buzz.
Since I've seen the one that hit last week, I got two, and I think we might run them one A, one B, so like this week and next week. But I want to get your thoughts on this. I want to be in alignment here with you. The first one that I think would do very well is Clint Eastwood movie Gran Torino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't seem so.
You don't love it. You don't love it.
Yeah, no, I'm not against it. What's the second one? I'm not against it.
The second one, and you may not have watched this, so we might not be able to do this. It's with Shia LaBeouf. It's called The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, I missed the Peanut Butter Falcon. I did miss the Peanut Butter Falcon.
We could be in.
I've seen the Maltese Falcon, Joe. Maltese Falcon is a classic. I've seen that.
Humphrey Bogart, Maltese Falcon.
Peanut Butter Falcon, I've missed the Shia LaBeouf Peanut Butter Falcon.
Peanut Butter Falcon, by the way, is an absolute heater of a movie.
I'm not saying it's not, Joe. I'm just telling you I've never seen it.
I do like the dedication. He came here on the phone. He was ready to go. He had it ready to go. Another one that you could have recommended, Joe, was Limitless.
Yeah. How many more times are we going to run that joke back?
Now, Joe, have you seen Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart?
No, I haven't.
That's a classic Falcon movie. The
I wouldn't even
Falcon
suggest
movie
if,
that
if you're seeing Humphrey
on,
Bogart.
Guys, get,
if you're seeing Humphrey Bogart.
No, I'm not recommending.
Okay.
I'm Bogart certainly not like, going to back Peanut Butter Falcon.
The Peanut Butter Falcon, I would almost ask you to watch it and see what you think.
All right.
And if you like it, maybe we suggest that to him next week.
Now, I have so many Bobby Blockbuster recommendations. It's actually just not me personally, because I don't even need to think anymore. People just it's ridiculous.
Coming from the guy who tried to end the segment, though.
Yeah, I sure did.
And I think that's terrible.
How about I suggested this the other day, and I don't know if you had watched it. 7 Pounds with Will Smith is absolutely right up Bobby's alley.
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. I don't know it. I've never seen it.
Fuck.
Yeah,
these are all heaters.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, you've seen Rudy, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah. Any sports movie, I feel confident that I've seen.
You've seen Blue Chips with Nolte and Shaq? And,
that I have not. And Fat Perez said that's a no-brainer.
Joe, it's a sports movie. You got Nolte. You got Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, Blue Chips, this would...
This would be a solo shot because I've never watched that movie, so I don't know.
I want something that you guys are in together. And by the way, with all due respect to Shaquille, he does it all. I don't want to see Shaquille. It'd be hard for me to watch a movie with Shaquille O'Neal in because I see him as –
But he plays a college basketball player.
In Bob, his if prime, you watch the Gladiator, movie was made in 94. So, I mean, it's, you know, might be a little.
Bob, have you watched The Gladiator?
I've seen a decent amount of it.
What does that even mean?
Means he hasn't seen the whole thing.
He hasn't seen it.
Not interested.
Now, that's a movie, Mikey V, I think is absolutely riveting.
Fucking awesome movie. But if he didn't.
Here it is, Bobby. Here's the
situation. But if he couldn't get through Braveheart, Joe, he may not be able to get through
Gladiator. But this is way more. This is way easier to watch. And by the way, Bob, right out of the gates, there's action. There's a heartfelt, like, true story that is, like, emotionally.
Yeah, I like
riveting.
To feel good.
It's unbelievable.
Is it a feel good though?
No, it's riveting. Like, I don't want to give away the part.
No, you can't give away. That's the problem.
But you know the scene where he rides home on the horse. I'm not going to say anything else. That scene is captivating.
I'm worried for you guys this week because last week it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, last week was nice. I think I might have one, Joe.
Okay, I'm ready to listen.
All right, I think I might have one, and this is a feel-good, Joe. It's a feel-good classic comedy, but maybe he's seen it, but maybe he hasn't. Oh, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if he'd like it though.
Sports are involved in it. They go to Wrigley Field, little baseball. I mean, I don't know. I think that's an all-timer, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bob, have you watched Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes, I like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, that was another good one. Or what about American Gangster?
Loved American Gangster.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I think Ferris Bueller would hit with Bob.
Mikey V, if you want The Rock this week, I'll give you
If you the want rock. The ball, Mikey V. Well, look, maybe you give Mikey V the ball. You could do the Blue Chips movie. You could do...
No,
look,
I don't... Blue Chips... I'd rather do Ferris Bueller's Day Off because I've watched it. I've never seen the Blue Chips.
Okay,
well,
Mikey V,
how about this, Mikey V? We could do a little recon homework ourselves. I'll watch Blue Chips. Yeah. You watch Peanut Butter Falcon, and then if we both like them...
Oh, that's such a tough ask, man. That's such a tough ask
to watch
Peanut Butter Falcon.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay. You don't have to watch Peanut Butter Falcon. Watch 7 Pounds, Will Smith, okay?
That's a fair ask.
Seven Pounds. I'll watch the Blue Chips, and then we might have two movies that we can use for future endeavors.
Okay. What I do like about the Ferris Bueller's Day Off is I've seen so many memes and stuff of it that I've been on the outside of that.
I think Ferris Bueller's Day Off, number one, is a movie that you have to see at some point. You have to see it, number one. But number two, definitely feel good, 100% feel good. A comedy, which hits with Bob usually.
Yeah.
Pretty action-packed, nonstop. A lot of you know, planning and this, that, and the other thing. I think now the only issue is that, of course, it's an older movie. It was filmed in the 80s, but I really feel it's not black and white, Bob.
It's not black and white, Bob.
It's like Raging Bull all over again.
No,
man.
It's nothing like Raging Bull.
What about one last suggestion? I mean, maybe for a future recommendation, I think we go Ferris. Bob, have you watched The Bourne Identity?
No.
That's another one that we should definitely consider.
I just can't stop looking at Joe's hair.
It's unbelievable, man.
The way it fell.
It's
crazy. The way it split,
it's
crazy, Moses parting
bro.
The Red Sea.
He could do so much. It's been the talk of the trip. We've been talking about his hair the entire... It's absolutely...
I almost think it's a bit. I don't think they're being serious.
Oh, it ain't a bit. It ain't a bit. Look at the cheddar in the back, too, Mikey V. Turn it around, Joey D.
Pop.
Just look at the cheddar in the back. He's starting to grow it out a little bit too.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. So let's come on. Now, here's what's a little disappointing though. I got bashed for not doing my homework last week. You guys got to come together on movies as well.
I did my homework this week. Well, I had four suggestions.
But you gotta come together.
And by the way, Bob, we just said we're gonna each watch a movie this week that we haven't seen. That
I know, but you gotta see where I'm coming from. You guys gotta be ready to roll too. You got a big win last week. Let's keep the ball rolling here.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard, Bob, when you're one out of every 10 movies.
That's not the point, though, Joey D. I've addressed that. That's not the point. That's why we're here. There's nothing to do with how hard it's got nothing to do with it.
I'm going to give Mikey V the Rock this week.
He can take the Rock.
I'm a little worried, but I do like the movie. So,
ladies and gentlemen, there you have it right there. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is the movie. Big, big moment here for Mikey V.
I think Bob will like it.
I'm gonna
say minimum 6 bagel score out of 10. Minimum 6 bagels.
We get
minimum.
7.
I think 7 would be a win. I think seven would be a win. Considering the party involved, I think 7 would be.
If we get 7 out of an older movie, it shows that he can maybe somewhat break off this stupid, ridiculous notion of not being able to watch a movie that wasn't filmed in the last 5 years.
Let's be respectful.
Bob, it doesn't even to be a good movie.
Let's not be disrespectful now, Joey D.
We can get rid of this stupid motherfucking idiot. No, Joe. Right. I think it would show that at
it'd
least
be a big win.
We have some. Yeah. Let's get another. We got to string together the W's now. You know, we got to stack W's.
I want people who are listening on the audio this week to try and picture the fact that Joey D is doing this podcast from a top bunk bed. When you think about this, is
Joe, you're not sitting like that, Joe. Wait. Let me see your feet, Joe.
Go back, Joey.
No, let me see your feet. No, your feet, Joe.
I had a leg cramp. I had a leg cramp, Mikey V.
Mikey, you've already seen this guy's antics.
I couldn't sit up. My head was in the ceiling. I had a leg cramp. I'm extremely uncomfortable.
One thing I think we got to ask before top five, it's got to be asked, I think, because people are going to want to know about it, but maybe you're talking about it on the Bob Does Sports podcast. How was Johnny Football? Very brief, very in a nutshell.
Oh,
how was
wow.
In a nutshell, very quick.
Yeah, we recorded an episode with Johnny Football.
You did?
Bob Does Sports. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to step on top.
No. He could not be a nicer guy. He really is. What's amazing to me, I almost... I'll be honest with you. I almost feel bad in the sense of like when I'm hanging out with him, just to think that this is a guy who had everything, like the world by the balls. Like he really did. And I almost feel bad. And, you know, it obviously did not work out. But what's interesting that the ticket said after film with him that I do agree with, he does seem very at peace. Like it's like he's at peace with the fact that he had his run. He's where he is with his life now, and he's enjoying it. I mean, he's golfing all the time. Like, he's enjoying it. I don't know what he does day to day, but
he doesn't need to do anything. If he's smart with his money, he's made enough money to last him several lifetimes, because you got to think about it. Like, people will say his career in the NFL didn't last long enough. That's not true. This man, in a short, brief period of time, Heisman winner, high draft pick, number one pick, or not number one overall, but number one pick for the Browns that year, quarterback. The type of money you make, even in that short window, is more money than people in this country will make in 50 lifetimes, most people in this country. So I think when you say something like that, it's sad, and it's kind of like you're like taken back by a little bit. But at the same time, if you really break it down, if he's not a total, you know, irresponsible person with the money he's made, he's still made, you know, more money than most will ever dream or conceive of.
Also, too, I think he comes from a wealthy background. On top of that, just having the name and the connections that he does, I know he's involved in a lot of business ventures where he's kind of the face. I know he was telling us about a couple with his partner, and the guy, he's got tons of money. So I'm sure he's getting well compensated in that regard. But yeah, Bob's right. I mean, the guy really, like, he was like as carefree as you could be. Like, we filmed the front nine. We filmed the front nine video.
I was wasted. I was absolutely wasted.
We got to the back nine, Mikey V, and it was like Twilight. So we didn't know if we could get 9 holes in. So we said, fuck it, we're just going to have fun. His buddy started cranking the tunes, shotgun beers, fireball shots. Ripping. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If we're hanging out with Johnny Football, isn't that what you really want to be doing? Anyway,
it was so sick. Ticket looked at me.
You don't want to play a fucking game of backgammon with him.
Also,
you know what I mean?
Too, We have such a big week ahead with all the Super Bowl festivities, our tournament, and whatnot. I didn't want to drink at all. Right. But when he started bringing out the shots and we went by the car girl, it's Johnny Football. Like, you can't, you have to say, like, you have to get drunk. So yeah, we lit it up and it was great. Last thing that I'll say about it is that I think people forget. And he even said that a lot of people forget. I asked him during the episode, I asked him in the car. I said, was there a time at Texas A&M when you were at Texas A&M where you were able to sit back from it all and say, man, like I got the world by the balls and really appreciate what was going on? Or was it coming too fast? He said, what people don't realize is I was an everyday like SEC quarterback. Everything was normal until I beat Alabama. He said, once I beat Alabama, he said, that's when everything changed.
I remember the game. I mean, that made him a legend that game.
Me too. I mean,
never forget that game.
He said it was the fastest from the time that he beat Alabama. It was the fastest 2 years, whatever it was. I forget what he said in his life. And he said at that moment, it just moved too fast. It was just it was so much was happening at that. He had Drake tweeting him and all the stuff coming his way. But that game versus Alabama, he said that's when it all hit. So prior to that, he was, you know,
it's a great just story. Another,
yeah, pretty wild
great story.
Okay, fellas, let's go into our top five with the Super Bowl coming this week. It's only right that we do this one. We are going to do top five Super Bowl heroes. It could really even be just a big moment that a player had. Top five Super Bowl heroes. When you think of the Super Bowl, when you think of a specific athlete, a certain play, what do you think of? And I will start. Let's start with Mikey V.
All right, I'm going to start by saying this, and this is, may shock people. Joe Montana and Tom Brady are not on my top five list. They're not my top five list. I'm thinking more of people in individual spots who did something so spectacular, and not to say that they didn't and maybe were spoiled because of how good those two guys were in Super Bowls. Obviously, Brady's got seven rings. He lost twice, but whatever. Number five, I'm going to start with one of his teammates, Adam Vinatieri. I'm going to start with Adam Vinatieri. Won two Super Bowls on his leg alone, Super Bowl 36 and 38. Both those kicks were over 40-yard kicks, so it's not like we're talking about a 20-yard chip shot, 30-yard chip shot. Those were both difficult kicks, the one against the Rams and then 2 years later against the Panthers. Give me Adam Vinatieri, ice-cold water running through his veins, clutchest kicker that I've ever seen personally in the biggest of spots. Number four, Santonio Holmes. Super Bowl 43, Pittsburgh against Arizona. That catch that he made in the end zone to win that Super Bowl with like 30 seconds left. Impossible catch. A guy who really was much maligned career compared to, you know, his expectations coming out of college at Ohio State to the pros. That solidified him as a Steeler legend no matter what happens moving forward. Number three, Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler's interception against the Seahawks to seal the game for the Patriots. Everyone and their mother is still wondering why Pete Carroll did not let Marshawn Lynch just run the ball and why they put it in Russell Wilson's hands in that moment. Malcolm Butler, ultimate. No one knew who Malcolm Butler was until that play, right? Number two, another guy nobody knew who he was till he made this play, Mike Jones. Super Bowl 34, the game-saving tackle. He saved the Super Bowl with a tackle, the Rams against the Titans. Tackled him at the 1 yard line, literally won a Super Bowl with that tackle. I remember watching that game. I thought the Titans were going to win. Steve McNair, unbelievable game. May he rest in peace, but unbelievable drive. Mike Jones, Super Bowl saving tackle. And number one has got to be the most incredible play still to this day that maybe I've seen in all of football, but certainly in the Super Bowl, the David Tyree helmet catch by the Giants against the Patriots, Super Bowl 42, Patriots perfect season. Manning, first of all, the way Manning escapes the pocket is incredible enough, but David Tyree, the Montclair, New Jersey native, I might add,
know
David
that.
Tyree. Okay, now you know David Tyree. Went to high school around the same time I did. David Tyree, Montclair, New Jersey native, the helmet catch with Rodney Harrison, Hall of Famer, draped all over him. I still don't know. And he was like the 15th leading receiver for the Giants that year. Incredible. David Tyree, number one Super Bowl hero in my book.
Joey D, do you have any issue with that list?
No.
Okay. I will go ahead and then we will finish off there with Joey D. Very, very similar, Mikey B. At five, I got Adam Vinatieri. I thought I actually would take heat for it, but when you think of just clutch people in Super Bowls, give me Vinatieri at five. Four, I got Joe Montana in my list. I just think for how many Super Bowls that he was in, what he won, I just think it's hard to take him off the list. I couldn't give
four
you a
for four.
Yeah, I don't know if I can give you a specific moment for Montana, but give me Montana for
92 yard drive against the Bengals for his third title was his signature.
Is that where he threw it to Rice in the end zone?
It wasn't Rice. It was, it was the other receiver, and I can't think of his name right now. It wasn't Rice. It was the other receiver. It was only his only catch of the game, and it was for the go-ahead touchdown win, but he drove them 92 yards. They were down 3 points against the Bengals. That was his third Super Bowl, and they won that game on that play. So that's his definitely, because he blew all the other teams out in the Super Bowls.
There's my moment. There's my moment right there. Montana for Malcolm Butler, of course, at 3. I'll never forget watching that. Just absolutely insane. David Tyree, probably the best catch I think I've ever seen. The Beckham catch is up there, but when you put into the fact that this was in the Super Bowl, the circumstances, it just, if he drops that ball, the game's just about over. I mean, it's just about done.
Yep.
David Tyree at 2. And then number one, and I'm shocked you didn't have him in the list, Mikey, but I get your list at the same time. I don't think you can argue your list. Number one, Tom Brady for me.
That's fine. Yeah.
Not just what he won, but of course, the biggest thing being that comeback 28-3. Just absolutely insane. I got Brady at 1. Joey D, we'll send it over to you.
And number five, I'll go with Malcolm Butler in that game. I think personally that was the best Super Bowl that I've ever watched. And I don't know, maybe aside from the Atlanta, New England Super Bowl later, that might be better, but I've never been more riveted at a moment. I was going rooting against the Seahawks.
It's a great game.
And watching that was unbelievable. So give me him at 5. And number 4, I'm going to go with Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles, listen, this is a game where everybody thought that the Patriots were the far and above favorites. They thought that they were going to win. Nick Foles quietly put up 373 yards, 4 touchdowns. One of them was a receiving touchdown. Guy comes out, wasn't even the starter. I just think it was absolutely needs to be mentioned. The guy was monumental in that win. I have him at number 4. At number 3, I have David Tyree. I think I remember watching that Super Bowl, probably the biggest underdog win of all time. And just that catch alone just solidified just the Giants winning that game. It was absolutely mind-boggling. And number 2, I have Tom Brady in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. You want to talk about a guy who shows poise, determination, and grit, and the willingness to literally not give up. He threw 267 yards and 2 touchdowns in the second half and literally just drove that team to a victory. And number 1, listen, this is my list, so it's going to be the way that I see it, and I probably get some slack for this, but it has to be put on the list. Number 1, I watched it with my own eyes. God rest that day. It was one of the greatest days of my life. Aaron Rodgers winning the Super Bowl for the Green Bay Packers. Just absolutely 112 passer rating. The guy threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think it was like 25 of 37. Just absolutely from start to finish was unfazed, unbelievable. Brought my Packers a Super Bowl. I'm giving him the number 1 slot. And now, that's the way I'm seeing it.
Instead of doing an honorable mention, I want to go around the circle here and give Super Bowl predictions, final scores. Joey D, we'll start with you.
I told Bob the other day, I think this is going to be a Chiefs victory. I think it's going to be a 24-20 win for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mikey V?
Yeah, I want to pick the Eagles bad, and I want to root for the Eagles bad, and I'm going to root for the Eagles bad. But I think a lot of people may have learned their lesson last week that you just don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. Whether the officials play a role in it or not, I sure hope not. I don't think they will, not on the Super Bowl stage, but I just think Mahomes I don't want to take them, but I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I think it'll be a very close game, a field goal game, and I think the Chiefs will win it 31-28.
Wow. Give me
high scoring one.
Give me 35-27 Chiefs.
Whoa! Big scoring game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a doozy, fast-paced as well.
All right, folks. Well, that does it for the Real and the Dumb Show. We apologize for any type of Wi-Fi difficulties. They're not premier Wi-Fi out here in Arizona. But hope you all enjoyed the episode. We will be back next week. Up and Adam, thanks, as always, for listening. That is yet another edition of the Real and the Dumb Show. We will see you next time.